It becomes murderous, and you always said this about my wife, and it's not true. Second one comes, listen, listen, Bill, your wife said this about me, or about so-and-so. So when they come home, they discuss that. Actually, you're talking too much. Then he's emphasized that. I'm hurt the way you're talking to me. You're talking too much. And those were only the words that the poor Polly heard. You're talking to me, so I'm hurt. The dispute over the breakfast table. Uh-huh. And the weeks turned into months, and the spring came around. And the young wife thought, today's a nice day. I'm going to pick up the take Polly and put him on the enclosed screen porch so he could get a little exercise. Mm-hmm. So when he was put up there, so he was showing off how much he knows. So walking with a chest out, you're talking too much, you're talking too much. I am hurt, you're talking too much. There in a corner on an old carpet was an old tomcat curled up. He opens his eye, one eye, opens the other. The intruder, this was my sanctuary. How in a dickens this guy came in? And before long, they have a scrap. Naturally, the poor Perry got the worst of it. There with disheveled feathers and bleeding, he's sitting there in a very despondent mood. And in the meantime, the whistle blew, and the young husband is coming home from the factory, opens the door, and pauses, looks up there, and comes to Polly. What's the matter with you, Polly? What's the matter? I am hurt. What are you hurt for? I'm talking too much.
Yeah, very good.
You want a gossip gun?
Yeah, right.
That's tremendous.
That's good.
He would have kept his track closed. Would have happened to him.
Father, I never realized you were that much of a thespian.
Yeah.
What? Really?
Of a thespian.
An actor. Really? You did that beautifully.
Well, I really did. I was given it. Sure, that's right. I knew that. I was director of plays. Uh-huh. I know that, but,
you know, a director and acting. Or
that's what I admired his book, guys, every bit of it. That's all psychology. I worked on psychology on all of you here. The reactions to pose and movement.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then again, you have the first and the last things I've written. So similarly with a play, you open up, and you come fast. Mm-hmm. And I'm gathered up. Yeah. I analyzed that book very closely.
You sure did. That's a first review I've really gotten of that. It's this little pamphlet thing I ran off a couple of weeks ago. I didn't bring you one.
I said, I want to learn something.
I was going to speak to you about that later.
Because this is the one he said about narration, about storyteller. I was very inquisitive. Mm-hmm. What pattern he finds. Mm-hmm. Because I was in this line. Mm-hmm. When you direct plays, you wit yourself right into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go in fast.
So you have to be in there, not simply imitation.
Right.
Otherwise, they're no the same as you're a fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Father was telling me about the book when I was driving him up here.
Oh, I see, okay.
Well, in Czech language, did you have a traditional way to begin a meal? Was there a way?
Yes, there is. Asking the blessing of Almighty God to bless.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you say that in Czech? Your Czech prayer at the beginning of the meal?
With the blessing. Or Shimoho Timoja, I just put in that the poker of terrible and for you, but it's Amen. See? May Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost bless these foods which you are about to receive. received at the present moment, and may it be for the benefit of our souls and our bodies.
Hmm. My goodness. That's beautiful. Now, I was
there's different kinds of prayer. It's not only a restricted one. You can improvise.
Yeah. Now, in a secular sense, almost every country in Europe has a traditional kind of phrase that they use at the beginning of a meal. In Holland, for example, when they sit down to eat and they've said their prayer and they're just ready to eat, why, the host or hostess will say, "Eet smakelijk," eat with joy.
Mm-hmm.
And the French will say, "Bon appetit."
Bon appetit.
Uh-huh. Did they have such a phrase in Czech?
No, not that. But for example, with drinking, let's say when they sit, enter thou into my well-being and do not do any harm therein.
Oh, that I never heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Intoxication, all right.
Uh-huh.
Enter thou, the gift of God, enter thou into my being. Vijidushubata meho aneuchintam nizalevo. And you do tip the
glass. Tip the glass.
Falling on my guest, in other words, this will be best.
So it's better
be helpful for my to be helpful.
Yeah. Now, your prayer at the beginning of this meal was, "For these and all thy gifts we give thee thanks through Jesus."
That's until at the end.
Until at the end. And then what is the end? Oh, that's the end prayer?
The beginning is to ask him Almighty to bless the food that is before us, about which he had created for our own good. Then afterwards we thank him for all these gifts which we have now received from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now, do they have something like that in the Methodist Church?
No, they don't have a beginning and an ending prayer, and they don't have one prayer either. They have many different ones. In fact, you might be.
that's practice already.
Yeah.
Not to be surprised. Don't go ahead. Anything.
Years of reaction, her father.
What?
Years of normal reaction.
They're still there, you see. Always get ready so you're not shocked.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Well, that's why I warn you about a question, so that it's coming. But I've for several years had a peculiar occupation, and that occupation is collecting ghost stories. Not just fictional accounts, but actual events that seem to have happened in families that they have a difficult time explaining. And one of the curious things about this collection is that I've discovered the most frequency of ghost stories has been in strongly Catholic communities. And an example of this is in the book, is in the community that I worked on the book, Savage Brothers, Sand Hills Aviators. It's a very strong, almost totally Catholic community. And it's just full of ghost stories in town. And I give you an example of one.
Mm-hmm.
If you could even call it a Holy Ghost story, maybe. A young priest coming to Ewing in 1908 had just moved into the parsonage, and his housekeeper was preparing supper for him. And he saw a light out on the front porch, and the light glowing there, he thought was the lantern of some parishioner who was coming with some question. So he went out and he saw simply a light suspended over his porch. And for some reason, he went back and got his oils. And he came back out and the light went down the steps as if it were a lantern that someone was carrying. He followed it through the streets of Ewing until he came to a certain house. The light went up the steps, hung there for a moment, and then disappeared, went out. The young priest went up the steps, not rapped at the door. The woman came out and fell into his arms and said, "Oh, thank God you've come. My husband has just died." And so he gave him extra unction. He was still had life in him. And this is one of the sweet, lovely stories, you know, that is told. Yeah. So I'm wondering if, would you see any relationship between the frequency of ghost stories and the strength of the Catholic Church?
The thing is, as it was during the time of Christ, it's happening too. Mm-hmm. Because you can have, for example, you can have your own message from God. Mm-hmm. There, I have met individuals right here in Verdigre, that's for your message mm-hmm. from a supernatural being.
You have,
for example, I'll give you an example right here in Verdigre that was in Farnick. He's dead now. Mm-hmm. And a boy that time was about 15, 16 years old and was going to have, was to get a tame squirrel. So he would have a tame squirrel. So he went down the creek. And there, high up about 40 feet, was a nest. Mm-hmm. And along with there was there that wild wine grape, you see, on the trees, going way up. So when he was about there, he forgot, he got hold of that wine, and it just loosened up, and he went down and broke his back. Mm-hmm. I used to go up there with him. And the doctor said there he'll be that way for all time. One day he comes to me, his father, he said, Father, I don't know what to think about it. I had a vision or it was an angel. He said, I'm going to, your son will walk again. I said, don't tell anybody else because they'll make fool out of it. I believe it. He turned back and then he was working for the Elgin. He walked, the time came, and he worked for the Elgin Club in Chicago.
My goodness. And he had...
one of them said, those things are.
Yeah.
Whether it's whether you're Protestant or not, that's a message for you, what you call private revelation, and you will find that in the Bible. That's foretelling it. It's going to be messages. You know? So I believe
that. Thank you for that story. That
is happening.
Can you give a name with that?
Yes, this is Farnik. Joseph Farnik. He's dead. Mm-hmm. And the son of the Farnik son is here.
Well, what relation was he Joe Farnik's father or uncle or?
I don't know what relation.
Or Frank
this was Farnik? Julius. This was Julius Farnik, and he moved out afterwards. Uh-huh. Was in California. Uh-huh. And I used to come up there and give him consolation, and it was in a terrible condition. Then he said, well, one day your son will walk. Mm-hmm. And he did walk.
Positive thinking.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I was going to ask you something.
There is, they can influence, let's say the television will tell you, we're doing this and this, mm-hmm. flood is coming. Mm-hmm. You'll believe it, it's coming right through, you don't see them. Mm-hmm. So these are but the laws of God, mm-hmm. who at a certain time gave the man the ability to gather these forces, these powers, so they would produce it. Mm-hmm. And they're still there. Yeah. And much more than are unrevealed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I was going to say, when you were telling your ghost story, would you connect your type of ghost story, your type of philosophy, let's call it ghost story, with the extraterrestrial sites that we're being reported now, in any way?
Oh, no.
Mrs. Elva Pavlik came to me. We would since that cemetery, we would like to give a statue of Mary, the mother of Christ up there in a cemetery. And I said, yes, but it will have to be marble. It will have to be carved of marble. And she said, my mother had a vision, it looked like a vision, and that she wants her to do something good, spend some of the money for a social good. And she said, that's a number of years already. I'm speaking now in the year of 1963. 63. And she said, it was so vivid, everything, so I wrote it down. So she goes upstairs and brings it down, and she reads it. It was on the 27th of November, in the 27th of November, 1954.
Oh, maybe a bit.
1954 yeah. Was when the Holy Father had dedicated the 100th anniversary of 100th anniversary of the Immaculate Conception. Uh-huh. And at the same time, this happened on the day when she appeared to Bernadette in Paris. On the 27th of November, 1830. I was just amazed. And that vision was repeated to Mrs. Ulish, and Mrs. Ulish has painted. She's got it in the house as it was seen.
Wait a minute, you're confusing me. I thought you said it was Elizabeth's mother who saw the...
This was Mrs. Elizabeth Pavley, Edwards Pavley.
Yeah.
Pavley.
Yeah.
And it was her mother, Mrs. Emilia Yelichka.
Oh, I see. Oh, and...
Elizabeth Yelichka.
And Grace is...
Mrs. Yelichka was dead already.
Yeah. No, but...
I'm speaking about, you know, Edward
yeah.
Pavley?
Yeah. Okay. Elizabeth.
This is his wife.
Who saw the image? Or who?
Her mother.
Her mother.
Her mother in 1954.
Right.
And this is until now.
Now wait a minute. Now how did Grace Ulish, is she a sister to, how did Grace, what made Grace Ulish paint the painting?
She had
Blanche Ulish.
Mrs. Elizabeth Pavlik had called her and asked her to come up there so that her mother would narrate and or describe.
Okay, all right.
To give the description, all right. And then from that description, now, is this the way, all right? Lord or twice come to it, is this the way you have it, all right?
No, now, I...
Mrs. Ulish has nothing to do otherwise. She said, you would have to explain, all right? So she put that, all right, is this it? All right, yeah. I had to retouch it. No, it was a little bit this way, a little bit this way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I follow it. And then Elva wanted to do something, so she...
This is to carry out the will of the mother. Mm-hmm. And that the mother of Christ wants her to, they had the money, to use it for some good purpose. But she does that, she doesn't know why. Where to put it?
Yeah.
For dinner for Sunday. So Sunday at the dinner table, while we are there, Mary opens up. We have special devotion to Saint Joseph. And we were wondering if we could have a statue up there. I said, yes, they're good, but it would have to be a permanent, it would be out of the reach. There would have to be a Carrara marble. That's not the question. Can we have it? Saint Joseph was on the spot in 3 days. All right, now I'll go in connection with you. Now we were there with that park. All right, there was with the park. I spoke Sunday to the people up there. Now the citizens of Verdigre have but nothing to say a thank you or great to our soldiers. All they have there is a little slab of 9 inch by 18. I said to Saint Joseph, right in public, he will collect and he will direct, and he did.
Yeah, he sure did.
And you say it came when on the feast of the
feast of Saint Joseph. The 19th of March. It was on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And the Annunciation was on Saturday.
Yeah.
Annunciation when Archangel Gabriel came and announced to the Blessed Virgin Mary, she's to be the Mother of Christ.
Yeah.
On that day in the morning, he received the first check.
Yeah.
Are you getting that cleared out?
Yeah, I think I'd like to understand that better.
So there is no...
Do you speak directly to saints?
Yes, definitely, without any question.
Because this is part of the church triumphant.
Yes, you have church triumphant, church suffering, and church militant. Mm-hmm. Militant means the miles, that's us, we're fighting.
Do you believe the saints are, in some sense, present and listening in on our conversation?
Right here, definitely, right here.
Wait a minute, may I ask, go into a little more explanation of the three churches, or...
That's a group. In other words, all right, here we are in this division. And those that are in heaven now, they are triumphant.
Okay.
They triumphant, didn't they? And suffering are those that are not yet sufficiently faith. That means, as our Lord said, and they shall remain there until the last farthing is paid. Whatever the place is not, it's just, as our Lord said, nothing impure shall enter the kingdom of heaven for purification.
Well, would you say those are the people in purgatory?
Yeah, purgatory,
that,
yes.
Okay, all right. Now,
purgatory.
I never heard the particular term.
That's it. Church triumphant, church militant, but here we are all brothers and sisters.
I know, as I said, just,
for example,
I never heard the
you're not clean enough, you'll be in the bathroom up there. all right, we will have to do some work here.
Yeah.
And those are enjoying a meal already.
Yeah.
We all belong to the same family.
Yeah.
Are you getting it?
Now, we had...
You really put me on a cross fire.
No, I never heard, as I say, I've heard heaven, earth, hell, purgatory, you know, but I've never heard this.
It's a division. The triumphant means already we are rewarded, we are enjoying the blessings. Yeah. And those with little imperfection, you need to cleaning up yet. And they're just detached, but they'll get up there. Finally, we'll get up there.
Yeah.
That's up there.
Yep.
All right.
Cleaning up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you, just like it at the bat, wondering what happened.
Let me mention another instance. I mentioned this the other night at the church, but I have a Lutheran pastor, a friend of mine, whose son was killed tragically. He died right in the church when he hit a glass door and it was cut, and he bled to death right there in his father's arms. And he said later this young pastor was serving the communion, and all the people were kneeling around the altar, and he looked over, and there was his son kneeling beside his mother. He saw him clearly, and he went on around. Yeah.
I believe it. He was the only one. That has happened over and over. That's only message was for him, nobody else. That's what you call a private revelation.
Tell me, does this have any religious significance?
Which?
Education. You have to be ready at all to be ready to meet any profession, the learning and knowledge to answer all questions, whether any profession you got.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we are losing now. The men that are coming out, that's enough for you.
Yeah. We want to know how many angels dance on the head of a pin.
Any amount. Infinite.
How many can fit on it? So all who can fit on it.
Because the spirit does not require any.
I wondered what I've heard people.
Zacharias was the same thing. Unbelievable. He said that she was beyond the age.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he didn't believe it. And hence he became dumb until the son was born. Then first he was, as a punishment or whatever it was, that he didn't want to believe the word of the angel.
Well, anyway, I was wondering if you had a correlative experience.
Correct. I agree. I'm not.
Yeah. Have there been events in your congregation? I mean, have there been people in your congregation who have reported such, not maybe an angel coming, but... Well, maybe an angel.
There were things, yes, I had that report, but I just kept that for myself.
Yeah.
I just revealed now 1, 2, 3, I've revealed 4 of them already now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even Rakoff was kind of stunned.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Now I got the healing one, and then there was the money coming at a certain time. Excuse me.
That was with regards to the Veterans Memorial Park.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was said that Kolpnice's park is going to the dogs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was interested, I always was interested, in recognition of what the soldiers have done.
And that
flagpole up there was just...
We're going to retire shortly, I can't remember. Yes. And there was, wanted to leave something to the town out of gratitude for how nice they've been to you.
You know what, we were in that meeting, the American Legion, and I wanted to be a member.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, they tell me you can't make it. I said, the heck guys, you can't make it. Can't you have an honorary? I said, here's $50. And make me an honorary member.
How
about the other side of it? Now, it's said that Martin Luther, as he worked in Wartburg Castle, saw the devil visibly and threw an ink bottle at him, and the stain is still on the wall. And I've had reports of evil people who have seen a terrifying vision of evil and turned away from it.
I believe that without any question, because that has been many. Because he was a good and sincere man.
Mm-hmm.
He was an Augustinian. He was a monk belonging to the Augustinian order. Yes,
mm-hmm.
And that could be because that not only once, number of times when the devil has appeared, and he still has. You take this for example now here in Erling, Iowa. The possession that was in the late 20s there, for 23, let's see, it wasn't about for 23 days, possession of the devil. That's working up there.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I agree with you,
mm-hmm.
and I heard it already before.
Yeah.
You're correct.
You'd have a...
That's true, because the devil is there without any denial. That is correct. And the whole thing is this, without any question, when I want to tell you, don't quote me, devils, without any question.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you analyze all that, because they can materialize the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a spirit you cannot see them, it has to be materialized.
Mm-hmm.
Like on Ouija board, the first thing, they'll start with your relative, that you can communicate with your relative. Now they can imitate, just like you have a television.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the party may be dead for 20, 25 years. You put it on, well, he's speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
The devil has, the evil spirit has an opportunity. All right, use the material, the voice, to deception. Until he gets you believing, then he's going to sidetrack you.
Well, maybe so.
Okay.
Yeah. I just remember, you reached for something and it
For example, when I was studying for priesthood, all things was more known, I could help a great deal of bringing sanitation to the spirit. Not only healing the body,
mm-hmm.
but the soul.
Mm-hmm.
To restore it, peace or...
Do you believe that some people have more of a capacity to see the invisible than others?
Yes, mm-hmm. definitely.
I found that I think about 1 in 20 people, is my guess, seem to have this. And every community I've gone to, I've generally found 1 or 2 in a group, a large enough group, who will report to me having seen an awareness.
Without any question, because in many instances you have witnesses that without any, so many so evident that it is true,
mm-hmm.
or the sincerity,
mm-hmm.
you can judge very well what they narrate that, is that an actuality or not.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe from the beginning I didn't, but later on, just like for example a judge, they take an oath. And the judge will know the image, you're telling me a lie, he won't say it.
Mm-hmm.
He can detect that without any question. He places one question and third and fourth, and he's got them already. You're telling me a lie. But out of decency and a policy, he'll never say anything a lie. Or you're like, isn't that it?
There's a lot in life that we don't know and can't explain. And
yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm learning still right along, and I'm anxious to learn. I reached for the book and I had all the books I gave away. I must have had at least 2,000 up there.
Yeah, you had quite a library.
I had 1, 2, 7 bookcases, and then there was about three large shelves yet.
Yeah.
Well, I get books. Yeah. I want to know what it's about.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. Or all different denominations. Or I want to know what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And when I deal with that individual, I know his standing. I know his position.
Mm-hmm.
And the general thing is, they do not know, in other words, they're lacking in some information if they act a certain way.
Have you read the Book of Mormon?
Mormon, yes.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of that?
They're sincere.
Mm-hmm.
They're sincere. And if they're sincere, God will accept them, because first words of our Lord on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they know.
Mm-hmm.
Take, for example, the soldiers, when they were crucifying Christ. They didn't know what they were doing, because they were told, here's a criminal, see?
Mm-hmm.
Because justice will be manifested.
No.
I'm not condemning. I have never condemned anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the Father.
Yeah, you found
Pick up the Father.
Yeah.
Father, you're saying in a small town. Now, here again is the question of definition of what a small town. But this week or last week on radio, I think it was, someone who's a professional said that they are having 15 new cases every week in Yankton of child abuse.
Yes.
Oh. When you say a small town, some people may not think Yankton is a small town, compared to Burlingame.
Yeah.
But this was a professional who was in the field and, doing the work.
Yeah.
And she was saying, they average 15 new cases a week. And Yankton's only 15,000-16,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'm surprised.
Yeah, well, I was flabbergasted.
Him, you want to say again?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the slightest idea.
I could just...
Different opinions.
Yeah. Is there a song you sing, or is there a benediction you use that...
I don't know what would appeal to them. Depends on the individual taste.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The difference of opinion, if you want an opinion... So this recalls to me a little incident. There was Jacob and Isaac, two Jewish brothers. Jacob got married when he was about 23, and Isaac couldn't make it, couldn't find one until he was about 35. Then he comes back to Jacob, he says, finally I find, she's beautiful. You never saw such a beautiful woman. And Jacob was just anxious to see what kind of a woman he picked up. So they met, he was introduced her, everything was nice social. Now when Jacob is with Isaac, he said, Isaac. Where did you put your eyes to select such an ugly-looking woman? I said, Jacob, if you would have eyes, you would like her too.
Oh, yeah. Some truth in
point of view.
Yeah, right.
Jacob, if
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Very good.
That's in the eyes.
Yeah.
Exactly. They give kind of a spark. Here's one. It was a very prominent Jew. And they were building a Catholic church there. And naturally, he wanted to make some kind of a donation, too. Mm-hmm. You know, so the best thing would be the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. They had a nicely made, and it cost him quite a bit of money. It was displayed nicely, and there was a Catholic by the name of, Pat. And he was kind of put out for it. And actually, Father Murphy was explaining, thanking him, what a wonderful thing he did. Look how many money this particular Jew is there. Pat couldn't understand it. So when they were at the site, said, what's the matter with Pat? Well, I don't like it. I don't like the attitude he had. Why? Well, the huge Father Murphy, you know why he gave those Ten Commandments? Because he couldn't keep it himself. Oh. And to have a humor, that's very good for any society.
Be able to laugh at yourself.
Yeah,
at yourself.
Definitely.
Yeah. What are you going to say?
You just reminded me of another one.
All right, for example, for myself, when I was ordained, I was a deacon, so naturally when you're a deacon, you're able to go out and speak to the congregation. Mm-hmm. So, all right, here I come for Easter, and actually you're going to have a sermon there. Well, it was all vested nicely, nice gold and so forth. Now I have to get something that's very striking. Something that will draw the people. Here I got it. I see the heavens open. That's a beautiful introduction. So I get up on a pulpit. I see, and the pastor is sitting there and watching. I see the heavens open. And it kind of got dark. So he says, I see the heavens open. Still doctor. I see the heavens open. And the pastor said, come down, Charlie, don't see it.
Yeah, right.
This is not biblical. You can make your own evaluation. There was by the name O'Donovan. And he was a Catholic. And he had a little place, a Protestant minister, had quite a bit of yardage around the church and made an agreement with him that he can have a cow grazed up there, fine and dandy. So one day, one Sunday he went to the Catholic church, the other Sunday he went to the Protestant church, again the Catholic church. Finally the Catholic priest said, what's the matter with O'Donovan? You go one Sunday, you go to the Catholic church, one to the Protestant church. Well, Father, you must understand. I go to the Catholic church for the sake of the salvation of my soul, and I go to the Protestant church for the salvation of my soul.
to save it from salvation.
So the statement fell over and broke his neck. Of course, St. Paul came up there, brought him to life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On one occasion, I think it was here, mentioning it, I said, I have noticed the same thing, but I haven't got the power, so look out for yourself. I don't guarantee that.
Fall off the wall. Have you ever witnessed a healing? You've spoken of this back healing and so on. Have you ever, you know, in recent years there have been healing services in the church, in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you?
No, I never went to prison that one.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Mary Baker Eddy can tell you a lot of this.
Yeah, there's...
Psychologically.
Yeah.
You know, because you can, great deals can be by psychology. So
yeah. I have...
Just give pain that's ordinary something and all right, I am satisfied.
I what they call it, there's a name for
it. There's no amount of explanation.
Placebo?
Placebo, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no question about it.
In my... Tell me about your mother. Was she a, you said your mother died when you were two, though, didn't you? Right. Who was your mother then? Who mothered you?
Well, for the you got married 3 years later, and that's her stepmother.
Was she some influence in you boys going into the church, the priesthood? Or your father, or...
No, that came up to later on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's at that time you start thinking, now, what will I be when I grow up? What would I look? And then it was a decision. It was a decision of not of a mother or a father. It was my own decision.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel a kind of distance from your stepmother that you would not have been present?
Yeah, definitely. That's
not
different.
Not the same. Mm-hmm. You have no memory of your own mother, of course.
2 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there were quite a few of you. Let's see, you were the oldest.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Some of them must have been half-brothers.
Yes.
I see.
But
how many were boys and how many girls, men and women?
There were 8 boys and 3 girls.
3 girls.
Yeah. A big family.
Yeah.
You had to scratch for your
Was there only you from your mother?
Father Francis, my brother.
I see.
2.
So you 2 boys, did she die in childbirth?
No, pneumonia.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
When I was in the garden, and that time pneumonia was, the doctor didn't know how to cope with it. And furthermore, there was 11 miles from the town by the time with the horses you go up there and get the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in case the doctor was again somewhere 10 miles there and
elsewhere,
you'll have to wait for the next day.
Yeah.
That's right now.
Did you grow up in Nebraska, Father?
Yes, I grew up in Nebraska.
Schuyler, north of
Schuyler. Oh, in Schuyler.
That's Schuyler.
And Nebraska survived it.
What?
And Nebraska survived it.
Yeah, here I am.
Yeah.
I never dreamt I would find myself in Vertigree.
Yeah, I can imagine.
When I was studying geography about Nebraska, the little town like Vertigree never was mentioned.
On the map, was it?
No, I don't know what that looked. We just studied about Grand Island, Columbus, Norfolk. The rest was insignificant.
Just today in the library, I looked through several books of Nebraska history and looked in the index of each one to find Vertigree and didn't find it.
Mm-hmm. Little small little spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And off.
And how about these small little places that used to be like Sparta or Yellen and Venus and Redbird?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Formerly there were post offices, and as a rule, there was always a little store there to supply the pioneers with the necessary food.
Mm-hmm.
It was with the horses. That meant time. If you traveled, let's say, 20 miles, well, there was almost a day's travel.
Yeah.
Well, you make it in half an hour.
Yeah, you're right.
The other morning I was up at the nursing home and I mentioned the gypsies coming through the country, and I asked if any of them had those memories, and oh my, the hands went up like a forest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. too.
Do you remember gypsies coming through the country?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a fear of, or what kind of experience did you have with gypsies?
Experience? They wouldn't harm you, mm-hmm. but they steal there for first opportunity they get to steal. They come on a farmyard. Now, could you give us a half a dozen eggs? Now, there were two, three, and I mean, another one went down to the chicken coop. They kind of scattered around while this one occupied you, the other one, the thing disappeared.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what it was, it disappeared. There's a corn, or the ears of corn.
Now, where did the gypsies come from?
Sometimes they were as horse traders. There was only, if they could get the horse, well, they got the horse. If not, we'll trade them.
Yeah, Madeline, you ask a very interesting question of history. Where do the gypsies come from? Would you want to comment on that?
No, I wouldn't.
All I know is that it's a very interesting historical question. It goes back hundreds and hundreds of years.
Since almost all the European countries had their gypsies.
Yeah.
Just traveling, that was their
world
life.
The ones that were here, now there are still a very, very active gypsy, Greek gypsies, I believe, in the metropolitan area.
They have had programs about them
on TV.
Yeah, and there's a king of gypsies, and in fact, one died rather recently, two, 3, 4 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to keep themselves, separate.
The clan.
I think they were Greek gypsies.
I don't remember that.
But now they have the Italian gypsies, the Romanian gypsies, Hungarian gypsies.
Yeah.
I mean, all through Europe, they all had gypsies.
Yes.
Now the groups that came through here, where were they from?
Well, I wouldn't know, but in Europe, as you mentioned, that's true. Gypsies here to they're just traveling from one place to the other. They settled down and the thing is, live from the land. That was about the thing. If there's pumpkins, we'll get the pumpkins. If we get a hold of a chicken, we'll get the chicken.
And they would tell futures and
fortunes, and if you get a few, and then they would trade horses, or they would come for hay and straw, and that means something they can steal. But they always, there were more of them. They engaged one while he was talking, and so forth.
Yeah.
The other one was stealing on the farm.
There's that.
So that they got the horses, let them in the cars, and the men were up the whole night
watching
the horses, so one was just wanting to steal them.
I remember the gypsies in New York.
And they had a very smooth moving. You see, there was so and so in there, and a number of cows on there. That's in between. Then again, if they got mixed place, they sell it cheap. They get rid of that cow. We are just horse traders. We have the we're looking for a better milk cow, and that was the only thing is it was their livelihood.
You said something about New York.
Yeah, they used to be gypsies in New York, particularly the fortune tellers were very common. Mm-hmm. And if I don't know whether I remember this or not, but I think I remember the covered wagons in New York, way back.
Colorful, painted.
Where were we in Europe? Was it Portugal?
It was in Spain, in Granada.
We saw the gypsy wagons. And very, very colorful.
In Granada. That's when Elizabeth got her impetigo.
Well, no, this is at a castle. And they were parked over
During the day, the gypsies were sleeping, and at night
they were on a prowl.
Go on again.
There exists. But cannot comprehend what laws of nature are at play.
For sure.
Well, usually
for having experiences of finding their cattle mutilated.
Yes.
And they never had any explanation for that, did they?
No, no. And that has been going here for years and years.
And it hasn't been lately.
And no, not now it's quiet.
Right.
Yeah, it was quiet. But this goes here in Nebraska, oh, for 100 years at least.
Oh, really? That long,
Father? Yes.
Oh,
just,
oh, well, we thought it was something new that was happening, yeah. You know.
Mutilation? There's no, or you have these saucers the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's connected with us, somehow with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this doctor,
with all these things, she's got it written, too. She wrote everything so she would remember.
Mrs. John
F. Storal, she used to be Mrs. Clarence Kutcher, Clarence Pavelka. Hmm.
Yeah, Mary.
Clarence Pavelka. That was after he shot himself in the eye there. I was very
He committed suicide.
What?
He committed suicide.
And then there was very attacking individuals coming, for example, coming all the cattle scared out and they're running to the fence and brink right to the fence.
No, I had never heard that.
You mean something was causing the cattle to be afraid?
Yes, definitely, and coming with lights on the yard.
Hmm. My.
Mm-hmm.
So she's written this, there's a book about it?
There's no book about it, but she wrote it, and I have read it.
Hmm.
And she lives a mile up and a half from here on the road. She married John F. Storal.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But before that, she lived by Sparta there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the things have been transpiring.
They lived a half mile west of the Sparta store, right on the same road.
Yes, that's where the things was.
Yeah.
And actually, she was scared.
Mm-hmm.
There was about three raids.
I had never heard of that.
Well, now, Elmer Pavelka buy that?
Yeah, Elmer and Donna are living there.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's the territory.
Yeah. No, they're living in the house now.
She has about five or six pages handwritten petitions so before, and she was all scared to death.
Mm-hmm. Wonder how do you spell her name?
S-T-O-U-R-A-L F, John F. Storal.
Mm-hmm. Her name
I told you this morning, when I had a mass, she was there with the
husband.
Could I mention to her that I talked to you?
Yes. Oh. You could mention because she's...
Yeah, she's very nice. Person.
I'd like to read it.
She still has it.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote it, and she was very 5 years, I think, this year, or 6 years, they're married. And she didn't marry immediately.
No, she moved down to Grand Island
She moved down because she was for some time at Grand Island.
Well, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever.
She wanted to get away from here.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right.
So it was about 10 years ago, you say.
Her husband committed suicide just about 10 years ago.
Pavelka?
Yeah. Clarence Pavelka.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the saucer.
After the death of your husband, I understand there was some atmospheric disturbances here, like a saucer of light.
Yeah.
That you were being disturbed here.
Were they taking place before her husband died?
No.
After.
Yeah.
After. Very short after, we're taking place there.
Mm-hmm. And the district number 27?
In Colfax County, yes.
Colfax.
There's about 18 of us there attending the school.
18 of you?
Yeah, 18 and 8th grade. So that's where the teacher had to work.
Yeah.
First grade, second,
so
third, fourth.
Everything is on record then at the county superintendent's office. Your grades, your the children, everything.
I don't know if the what?
I don't think they kept records.
Yeah, well, well
yes, the,
yes.
There were
I looked books. Up mine. Mm-hmm.
There were books keeping the records. I know that. Then you have your school board there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, your attendance record and everything. You find that interesting.
Then you got the attendance certificate too.
Mm-hmm.
That you went for. Let's say if you didn't miss for a month, then you got a certificate. If you got eight of them, then you got a bigger certificate. Signed by the superintendent. This is to satisfy it without any. had regularly attended a school.
Yeah. Do you remember a teacher? Does the teacher's name come back?
Yes, there was Nellie. Now what was his name? Yeah, I can't go figure thing the name, but in my mind I still serve her.
Mm-hmm.
Her first name was
Nellie.
Mm-hmm. N-E-L-L-I-E.
You probably called her Miss something though, or Mrs.
Miss Nellie. About 1918 she was.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, I'm glad
to know. She evaporated.
You played Auntie I over?
Oh, yes, over to school and pump.
Pull away.
And then played Indians. We found entertainment there. Played baseball there. It had a garden there, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Huh.
Of course, it was a little bit of duration in the spring open. I think the spring opened much sooner up here, but this was in April, beginning of April, towards the end of March, we were paid. And still, there were, I think, radishes we raised.
Hmm. So you'd get them started in the spring, and then somebody else would harvest them, or would you?
In fall again, there was some food that we would harvest in there.
Yeah.
But the thing was, the teacher encouraged us, so you know, you with the weeding, all right, everybody get the weed, bring the water, bucket of water.
And then when you get home after school, you had to do the same thing, huh?
Yes,
That didn't seem fair.
Did you ever get spanked in school?
No, there was a... You were left after school, that's all.
Yeah.
And that was bad enough.
Yeah.
Because at home it was, if you don't listen to that teacher, it was you got a trouble at home.
Yeah.
And in case you had to stay for half an hour, then you ran to make up time.
Yeah.
So that was what the idea of
being so late. Yeah. Huh.
That's when the parents back the teachers.
And then when you come to school, if you have some meat, that would go almost 2.5, almost 3 miles. The thing was frozen.
Ah, yes.
In the bucket.
You carry it in a syrup bucket, huh?
It was just an ordinary bucket, and it was hard.
Yeah.
So the thing, then afterwards you put it under that stove, that belly stove, way. And all I still remember, the buckets, every one of us was under that to warm it up.
How far did you walk to school?
It was almost 3 miles.
Ooh. So that's a long walk in the winter time.
You bundle up. And I recall that, that's only twice that I recall. I was, you walk, that's all do it. There was no pampering. There was no getting with you in a car.
You didn't have a horse to ride either. You just walked.
You just walked.
Did you ever get caught in a blizzard?
Oh, it was just, I'm going to call it, I don't recall of any blizzard, but it was a pretty sharp snow coming down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once that came for us, I think it was more like a blizzard with where the spring wagon,
mm-hmm.
That was the only conveyance for a family. When you went to church, you were on a spring wagon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when it started raining, all right, Dad went and put a canvas over the whole bunch. Mm-hmm. You're there in the dark. He was only sitting up there in the rain.
I remember that too, yeah.
Covered up the whole hold up, and you sat up there. Same thing in winter. The wind is blowing, all right. Everybody up there in a buggy? That's the protection. Dad put on a heavy coat and was driving the horses. Yeah. They wouldn't believe you now.
Did he wear one of those, what they call them, buffalo? Not buffalo skin coat, I mean.
Yeah.
Or for the catechetical instructions in summer. So in the morning, so we get there, so the folks brought us there. But going back, you walk, and that was 5 miles.
Wow.
And so you would save the shoes, you take the shoes off, and put it around, because the road, there was all dust. There was no gravel. So you were in your own shoe leather.
Yeah, your own skin.
Yeah.
But that grows fast.
Yeah, that grows fast. I hope throughout the whole summer I was barefoot.
Yeah.
Well, your father probably mended your shoes, didn't he?
What?
Your father probably mended your shoes, didn't he?
Oh, yes.
Himself.
That was for school, or what if it was cold, well, then you had yours abundantly. But in summer, June, July, no, that goes without. Unless when you get in the field with the machinery, well, then you put on your shoe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But outside, let's say, doing the chores, no, that's still. And they were pretty well calloused.
Yeah. you spoke of mending your own shoes. I remember that too. My father had a hasp, I think he called it, an iron.
It was a what they call electric shoe. And you put the shoe on there and
pound the
nail. Oh yes, and cut the thistle. Haircut. That was all at home.
Yeah.
That was home. I don't recall Dad taking any shoes at any time to the shoemaker.
Did you take wheat in to be ground for flour?
No, not during my time. No. There was a mill already in Schuyler. It was before my time when Dad was a boy yet. Then they were doing it. But during my time, there was already a mill in Schuyler.
Mm-hmm. We used to take our grain in and they'd grind it right there and we'd get the flour and the bran.
You still have that mill at Neely there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In fact, it's a historical site now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We used to go to the Elgin Mill, but I knew the Neely Mill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You butchered your own meat?
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. And was hanging in the driveway of a corn crib.
Yeah. Tipping.
And covered with the way with your bed sheet up there.
Yeah, in cold weather.
And when meat was needed, just cut for a week.
Did you make sausage?
Oh yes, that was made sausage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did someone look at, is that possible?
So
the government would come after you, my gosh, that's not. Well, look, all of us survived. Every one of us survived.
Better than they're doing today.
What?